Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Narratives of Grace podcast, authentic discussions on following the real Jesus in the real world. These conversations are produced for a particular people in a particular context, and we realize not everyone will relate to the perspectives of every story explored, and that's okay. Our goal is for this podcast to be a springboard for conversations within our community. Today's episode is the first part of a two-episode discussion with Brett McIntosh about the season of Advent and how we've grown to understand and appreciate it. We will talk about a few Christmas traditions and how the reality of the brokenness of the world can often collide with the celebration of this season. Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Narratives of Grace podcast. As always, we are your hosts, Robbie Melton, Cavante Chillis, and finally, with a microphone that works, Chris Reeves.
It works for real. I am literally looking at the green line on the computer while I talk.
So, quick story for everyone. This is our second go at recording this intro because I introduced Chris as finally having a microphone that works, and 10 minutes in, we realized it wasn't working.
It wasn't working at all, yeah. So I was just, I mean, you could hear me shouting in the distance, like everyone can always hear me. But now I have a microphone that belongs to me, so I'm going to talk directly into it.
All right, so we're going to jump right in because we had to start over. There was a great organic conversation that took place.
It was
maybe
so
we'll
good.
Post a blooper reel.
It was so good.
But we're intending to make this episode available a week before Christmas. So when you're listening to this, you're probably a week away from Christmas. And so we thought it would be great to have an episode that is specifically Advent in nature. And so we're going to be talking about Advent, Christmas traditions, and why we observe Advent at Resonate and how we have grown to appreciate it as individuals. We thought that it would be a great idea to bring Brett McIntosh in. So welcome, Brett McIntosh.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
So, also, he's live in the studio. He just really wanted to say that.
Yes.
Also, the studio is Chris's house.
Yes.
Yeah. All these things are true, but nobody needed to know them.
Yeah, you break the fourth wall every recording.
Yes, and you call me out on it every recording. So we thought that it would be a great idea to bring Brett in to talk about this because maybe 2 months ago, Brett and I were in a conversation, and he mentioned that he really loves Advent. And so as we were kind of brainstorming what we could do with this episode, how to make it Advent-specific, we thought that it would be great to bring him in and just kind of talk about why he loves Advent so much. And we're not expecting him to be some sort of Advent scholar. He just has learned to grow and enjoy this season. And we just want to hear that story of how he's learned to appreciate it so much. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about it. So we're just going to jump right in. Brett, would you tell us a little bit about your experience with Christmas and the Christmas season as you were a child?
Yeah, and thank you for setting that up. If I am expected to be an Advent scholar, I'll just go ahead and see myself out. You know, Christmas is a time that I've always loved. As a kid, it's always been special for our family, as it is for many families. You know, growing up, my parents were really faithful to point us to the true reason that we celebrate Christmas in Christ. But I think as is easy to do and as many kids do, I was often wrapped up in the stuff that you get with Christmas or the idea of Santa, or, you know, whatever that may be. A lot of things that we associate with Christmas that aren't necessarily bad things, but can detract from really realizing the full joy of Christmas and Advent.
Yeah, for sure. I actually, in the same way, growing up, Christmas was like, you know, a present festival, you know, and then when I got a little older and wanted to kind of reject this materialism, I rejected Christmas almost entirely, you know, so it's become really helpful to be around people who use this word Advent to point to an appropriate Christmas. You know what I mean? Like it's been helpful. It's not about presents.
Not to be contradictory, but and thanks for setting me up so well.
Perfect.
Funny how that worked out.
It's like we had another try at this.
Yeah. Each year, Jess and I have intended to be intentional about doing some sort of Advent reading, Advent calendar with the kids. And this is the first year that we actually succeeded in being proactive with that and actually starting on December 1st. And so we were doing our Advent reading through the Jesus Storybook Bible, which there just happens to be the exact the perfect number of readings from the beginning through the Old Testament leading up until Jesus' birth, as there are days in December leading up until Christmas. And so it really unintentionally by humans, unintended, is really a perfect Advent reading schedule for children. And Sally Lloyd-Jones then retroactively wrote an Advent calendar for the Jesus Storybook Bible. And she wrote this introduction that I think when I was reading it to the kids yesterday, it was just so meaningful and impactful, because I think there is something to the presents and the gift giving and the way that children latch onto that so much and look forward to it, and unintentionally kind of create a season of Advent and waiting and expectation mm-hmm. for that. But Sally Lloyd-Jones, in her introduction to that Advent reading, says, "What do you love most about Christmas? Most of us say presents. And probably all grown-ups will laugh and want us to say something more spiritual. But actually, do you know what? You're right. That is the best, most important thing about Christmas. Because you see, Christmas is all about a present, a gift, the greatest, most magnificent gift there has ever been." And so she's, of course, talking about the coming of Jesus, the giving of Jesus for us. And really, that's the reason that we give gifts during Christmas and why it's okay for our kids to be excited about that aspect, because that's a means of God's grace that he's given us to communicate the gift that we've been given in Jesus.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the more interesting things I hear when parents talk about, like, this Christmas is about Jesus, but we're going to go visit Santa at the mall, and like balancing that as a parent seems yeah. really complex to me, really complicated. And something I don't ever want to have to do. I'm just going to tell my kids day one, Jesus is real, Santa's not. Let's go play drums in the shed, you know? It'll be fun. Brett, like, you are a parent. I think you're describing, like, you kind of moved into appreciating Advent more before you became a parent, knowing Wilder's age. So have you found a balance there?
Yeah. We definitely, I think, kind of awareness of Advent and thinking about being intentional during this season came about before having a son. Mm-hmm. I think now, as Robbie just said a minute ago, having children, it kind of I don't want to say burden, but to some degree it is a burden of leading your family well yeah. and pointing them to the truth during this season yeah. Is escalated. And you made the joke about, we're just going to say Jesus is real, Santa's not. And I think when our son was born, that was kind of my full court press. Like, let's do this. Let's yeah. be those people that everyone hates for their kids to be around if they do believe in Santa. The thing that I've kind of come off of that some to say, we don't have to be those people who kind of tamp that down for everyone else and kind of Dikembe Mutombo reject that at every turn. But at the same time, can we make, I mean, the joy that's found in Christ is more real, is more tangible than what is to be had in believing in Santa or whatever yeah. that may be. And so can we elevate that to a point where that even, is priority and supersedes
yeah.
the excitement of Santa and other things?
Yeah, there's a quote that brings to mind about, like, the truth doesn't need a defender, just let it out and it will do its thing, you know? So yeah, when you put Santa and Jesus into the same growing up situation, the right one will win out, I'm sure.
Yeah. Kind of going off of what you said, Brett, about kind of that burden and that weight that you feel as a parent to communicate some of these greater truths about this season, because they are greater truths. Mm-hmm. The gift giving and the, you know, holiday spirit and joy can be pointing to the greater truth for sure, mm-hmm. but we still have this burden to communicate the greater truth. Yesterday, this is maybe a confession of how maybe we've done a poor job. Yesterday, we were driving, or 2 days ago, we were driving to pick out our Christmas tree. First time we bought a real Christmas tree. Love it. House smells amazing. But we wanted to put on some Christmas music as we were driving to the tree lot to pick it out. And I had on an album by The Modern Post, which we sing some of their Advent songs at Resonate. And in the middle of one of the songs, Asher said, "I wanted to listen to Christmas music. This is Jesus music." I was like, What do you mean? And he said, "A child is born, our rescuer." That's Jesus, not Christmas music. Where's Jingle Bells? And then he and Kenley continued to ask for Jingle Bells, and of course we played some remix of Jingle Bells. But yeah, so I definitely feel some of that burden of communicating those truths.
Yeah, no, it's funny that, you know, you were talking about that. My kids are better at Advent than I am because they've had Advent their whole life so far. And I've been like, you know, Christmas was just Christmas in our house. We had Santa and he snuck in our front door because we didn't have a chimney. And it was all about Santa and gifts and Rudolph and all those things, which are fun and, you know, harmless in itself. But we've been very clear, me and my wife have, about our kids. Like, this is why we're celebrating the season. Mm-hmm. And now it's to a point where like I don't hear my kids talk. I think I talk about Santa Claus more than they do, because you know it's just part of the season for me. But I don't recall hearing my kids ever talk about Santa, which is interesting. So like we're trying to instill that tradition in them to have this Advent season so they can pass it on to future Chillises. But Brett, tell us about your most memorable Christmas experience.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking through this some and just kind of going through the hallways of my mind, thinking back on past Christmas seasons. And I don't know that I can necessarily even nail down one in particular. But I think something that does stand out to me is that what has always, you know, kind of stood out in my mind, what has always been the most fond memories for me, have to do with people and have to do with those shared experiences together and not stuff. As much yeah. as when I was a kid, I thought the best part of Christmas is the stuff that you'll get. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of that stuff that I really don't even remember. But what I do remember is time spent with family, shared experiences with one another. And I think now what stands out to me is seeking to kind of pursue the true season of Christmas together with other people.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is not only now the most important things to you is the experiences with family and friends and people during this season, but you're saying as you're looking back on memories of your childhood, the most fond memories don't even have to do with things. It has to do with the people that you were with.
I even remember in some of those instances where I may remember certain gifts that I was excited about or things, the excitement about that and the memory, kind of the snapshot I have in my mind, is still interaction with people around those things.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific story in mind that you can share?
You know, I'll share this, and this is super random, and I don't even know that this really takes us in a direction that's really that's, helpful to answer the question fine. You're asking, but this is something that keeps coming into my mind. There was this gift I got, and I don't know how old I was. I mean, I was a kid, and it was a Frankenstein. You guys remember this thing? It like opened up, and you could like operate on
oh, yeah.
it. And I don't
yeah, yeah.
remember the name of this toy. Sorry, Mattel. For those at Mattel yeah, that listen to this weekly,
Barbie Frankenstein.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Mattel, if you would sponsor our podcast, we will certainly remember the individual names of your toys.
But here's what I remember about this toy. I don't even remember opening it or anything like that. I remember we always go, my dad's side of the family lives in Kentucky, and we always go around Christmas. And for some reason this year we went on Christmas evening an afternoon to their house, and I believe stayed overnight even. And what I remember about that is taking that item with me to that event. But really what I remember is that event and that time spent together with family.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off your story, something I found interesting just maybe in these past 2 years is that me and my wife, we got to that awkward age of being married where we stopped going to our parents for like Thanksgiving and Christmas and started having it ourselves. And we invited other friends over for Thanksgiving and Christmas and this holiday season. And I was talking to Jess about this just a few days ago, about how like we're always so stressed about this time. Like, God, we want everything to be perfect. We want Thanksgiving dinner to be perfect. We want Christmas to be great. You know, we want all these things. And then the other day I was like, well, you know, it's we spent this past Thanksgiving at my mother's and we had a great time. We stayed overnight and we're going to do that again for Christmas because we had such a great time. But I was telling her, I was like, I'm starting to realize like these holiday seasons and all the stresses of it. Like only thing I remember is the time I spent with my family. I don't remember how dinner was. I don't even remember what I ate now other than just like the basics. I don't even remember how well it tasted. I just remember spending time with my mom, my stepdad and all my brothers. And like I really want the holiday seasons to be like that. About like, you know, I want my kids to be like, hey, I remember spending Christmas morning with my dad and my mom and not being about what we got. And yeah, so like I completely understand and sympathize with that. So it was just interesting. We just happened to be talking about that a few days ago. But
yeah, you know, on that note, you know, I guess this is a moment for a confession. I'm often the curmudgeon that kind of ruins the family dynamic because I'm in a grumpy mood or whatever that may be. But often I think about like if I say I've spent a week away from work and I've spent that time with family around the holidays, and then I'll get back to work. And the thing that I want more than anything is to be back in that moment with those people, even if I was actively ruining that moment as it was happening.
Yeah, no, I've been working two jobs for a little bit now. And up until this last Thanksgiving week, I had been working about 75, 80 hours a week. And then I had Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and the weekend off. And it was 4 days, and I spent them all with my family. And like now, when I got back, I got to work on Monday, I was like, we need to call my mom and see if we can come over for Christmas. Because that was just a great time. All the kids were there. So yeah, no, it's definitely shifting. And that's good for me because that's such a stress reliever.
Yeah, well, going backwards, I apologize for this, but talking about how you your favorite memory being like sharing the gift you got, you know, like with the family kind of thing, is that something that you've been intentional about now that you're the parent? Are you? Because I remember my dad once got us like this Uno game, and we played it for 2 weeks every day together, you know, and it was like that was the gift, that was the Christmas memory, was how long the Uno game lasted, not that we got Uno on Christmas. You know what I mean? Yeah. So are you Wilder's kind of young right now, but are you just like, man, when he's three, we're going to get Stretch Armstrong, or we're going to play with him for 2 weeks. And it, you know, like, do you have, or any other kind of traditions that you've carried on or even started, at this point, maybe it's not based on that single experience.
We do have a gift schedule laid out from now until the time he turns 18.
That is fantastic. Can I get a PDF of that?
I think that's something, and we kind of alluded to this earlier, but I think I find myself in the middle of learning to be purposeful with those things right now. There's a lot of ways I'm missing it, and then there's ways that every now and then I kind of hook onto something and it clicks. And the question you had, I'm my first answer to that, which would have been great for a podcast, was just like, no, not really. but
next question.
Right. But I was thinking about it, and JC just bought this for Wilder yesterday, and I'm so excited about it. It's like a little fake baseball glove.
Wait, this is going to be posted the week before Christmas, so does Wilder listen?
I know about this.
He is a very faithful listener.
Might not want to give away what you got him.
Spoiler alert.
On his VTech phone.
Sorry, continue.
Are we on VTech now? Dang. Moving up.
All around the world.
Yeah.
But she bought him this little toy baseball glove and ball, and it's not because of his great love for baseball or anything. He's not headed towards the minor leagues or the major leagues. But what I'm most excited about that is that shared experience with him. So she sent it to me and was like, he's paying a lot of attention to this at the store. And I was like, yeah, you've got to get that so that we can have that time together.
Yeah, it's like you got him hours of playing catch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We bought him memories.
Yeah.
That's so great.
So the rest of the questions that we're gonna have are gonna be a little bit less related to Christmas Day or Christmas season traditions, and a little bit more related to the season of Advent, and that. So first, I kind of want to define Advent, and then I've got a question for you, Brett. So Advent is defined as the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And I believe it's also used in reference to the waiting for and the anticipation of the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And so it can, of course, become obvious at that point what we mean when we're talking about this season of Advent. This season of Advent is we're anticipating and waiting for Christmas Day, but it's in recognition and it serves as a reminder of the thousands and thousands of years where God's people were waiting and anticipating the arrival of Jesus. And we now are in a season of Advent where we're anticipating and awaiting Jesus's second coming.
Man, one thing that recently I've been listening to or attending a class called The Story of God, and one thing that came up when they were talking about how long this true anticipation lasted. It's not just the month of December that, like, we consider Advent.
Yeah.
Like, and you said thousands of years that his people were waiting for the Messiah to come. But if you think about, like, the idea that, and this is the thing that struck me most that day, is, like, that star was above the place. So that star has been moving since the beginning of the universe. The universe had been waiting for Jesus that long. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure. And I think what... And this is going to be really, I'm really excited about this season of Advent at Resonate, because our sermon series and our liturgy is going to kind of be centered around the fact that Advent is more than just the Christmas season. When Adam and Eve sinned and God cursed them, cursed the devil, and cursed the earth, he built in the promise that he would send one that would come rescue them. And that's when Advent began. When he made that promise, Advent began, because at that time is when Adam and Eve started waiting for their descendant that would come to rescue them from this mess that they created. It's this incredible, grandiose story that God has given us. But with that in mind, and referencing what I said in the introduction, how Brett mentioned that he really enjoys and really loves this season of Advent, I just kind of want to throw the question at you. What is it about this season of Advent that you love so much?
You know, what I've kind of grown to love, and what I am actively growing to love, is that anticipation and that very purposeful, intentional reminder of the hope that we have. When I think back to being a kid, and you know, it's easy for me to say, oh, when I was a kid and didn't treasure the things that I should have. But I mean, really, in my 20s, you know, in recent years, and likely in some form this year, what will happen is I will put my hope in the things that I'll get, the experiences that I'll have functionally, and ultimately, at the end of that, while time with family and that kind of thing, as we've discussed, is super valuable, that there will be an emptiness at the bottom of that without a focus on Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, you know, growing into an adult, which I'm still waiting to get to that point, but growing, and I think for all of us, we grow and we recognize two things. We grow and we recognize the brokenness in the world around us, and we realize this more than we did when we were kids, but also we grow and we recognize the brokenness within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of sure hope that we have, I mean, you're describing from before Christ, this anticipation of him and the revelation that we have that Christ has come, that God has done what he said he will do. Mm-hmm. But even now in the brokenness of the world, we still have this longing for things to be made right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that was legit. I need to step a little further with this though. What was key in cultivating this affection for the Advent season? What causes growth? Is it specific, this is it, this is the moment where I understand it, or was it more of a slow growth, everything with me?
Yeah, if you were talking to somebody right now who was like, I'm not into it, what is the thing that you would say, well, try this, give this a try, maybe that'll do it for you, you know?
So I listened on the way here this morning, I listened to a few minutes of John Piper talking about Advent and a devotional that he's doing through Solid Joys in an audio form, which I would recommend. Unfortunately, when you hear this, it'll be a week till Christmas and it'll be almost over, but you can listen to them all.
And we will link that in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great. And he was talking about that in that, you know, to have an appreciation for Advent, we have to have this appreciation of a need for saving, of a need for a savior. And I think for me, the realization has come as I've grown more aware of the truth of the gospel, of my need for the gospel personally. Yeah,
the brokenness you were talking about just a moment ago.
Yes, yeah. Sorry, absolutely.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I think that those have kind of been on a parallel timeline of, as I've grown into a deeper appreciation of the gospel, I've seen in this season a deeper need for appreciation for the coming of our Savior, mm-hmm. and the hope that we have that he's coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
And as I'm thinking through some of the answers of the two questions that you just answered, first of all, I just have a thought that you were referencing. You know, you mentioned how there's even more, you know, we in the first few questions we were saying gifts and presents are awesome, but what we've grown to understand and appreciate even more than that is time with family, and then even beyond that there's a bigger truth pointing us to Jesus, right? But I was meditating on that aspect and why. Okay, so we made the connection why gifts and presents are important and why they're involved in Christmas, because God gave us the most magnificent gift in Jesus. But why is it that time with family is so important and such a huge aspect to holidays? And I was just thinking that I think that also points to Jesus and what he came to do, right? So God gave us Jesus to live the perfect life that we couldn't live and die in our place and call us into a perfect family and give us peace with God and peace with one another and make us his family. And in the same way, God has given us this holiday in which we can come together with our family and experience the joy that family brings, right? And that even is just a picture of the family that we're given in Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think, thinking through what you're saying there, what comes to mind for me is just this. I mean, the hope that we have in Advent is that we will have this relationship that's unbroken. And in the church, these relationships, these times spent together, they matter. They matter for now. They matter for all time and for eternity. And I think I'm just thinking through even things that are disconnected from Christ in the Christmas season, so to speak, have this hope built into them, and this value. The song Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas has this line about, we'll be together if the fates allow. And just this desire that's really what matters is that ongoing relationship.
Yeah, I've always thought it was kind of strange how the best elements of a secular understanding of Christmas are the minor elements of a Christian understanding of Christmas.
Yeah. So I'm kind of growing rogue a little here. We didn't intend any of these questions that I'm about to ask and where we're going with this part of the conversation. So I apologize for pulling the chair out from under you. Maybe
an audible,
but I, I, I'm just thinking about this and how, do y'all ever experience like post-holiday blues?
Yes.
I experience post-everyday blues.
Yes. The day after awesome. Christmas so, is the saddest
so,
day.
I don't know. I feel like there's something to that, right? Like even that is probably pointing us to a bigger truth. I think we tend to anticipate this holiday and what it can be, and we expect it, like Christmas Day, to be the climax, right? Mm-hmm. But what I am thinking of through this conversation is like Christmas Day 2017 is not meant to be the climax. Christmas Day is pointing to the greater climax when Jesus returns and we finally are with him in person with our family. Yes, he's called us to be family now, and we have immediate like blood relatives, and we have a family at Resonate. We have a family of God now, but it's still imperfect, right? And so there's going to be arguments on Christmas Day, and it's not meant to be the climax. It's pointing to what the climax is. And if we don't expect it to be the climax, we still can be anticipating the climax even after.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like Advent being this 25 days before Christmas is one thing, but every single Christmas being a season of expectation for what's to come,
yes,
is like an even greater thing, you know? Like the Christmas season Advent being practice for our greater Advent, you know?
So we should practice the Christmas season Advent all year round.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All year.
Yeah.
Bells and candy canes.
Yes.
And Jesus.
I honestly wouldn't mind having a live tree evergreen in my house that freshens the room naturally all year round.
I wouldn't mind having a fresh evergreen in this room with us right now. Do you think we could?
I'm kind of digging that oil blend though.
Do you guys want to take a break?
Let's take a break.
All right. We'll do that. We'll be back.
Cookie butter?
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Narratives of Grace podcast. We will be posting the conclusion to this discussion 1 week from today as opposed to our usual two-week schedule. We hope you enjoyed the conversation, and we pray it will be used by the Spirit to grow us closer as family and become more like Jesus. This episode was produced and hosted by Kevonte Chillis, Robbie Melton, and myself, Chris Reeves. I also recorded and edited the episode. Very special thanks to Brett McIntosh for being our guest. And as always, you can find any additional resources we may have mentioned in the episode in the show notes. Thank you.